America. Hello, the world. This is Rick Adams, your voice of Radio Avenger. Uncensored radio, free America. How's that, huh? All right, 9 central to 10 every single weeknight. We're here now, and we are on the best network in the United States, Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm very proud to say that, very pleased to say that. Our number here, toll-free, is 800-313-9443. And tonight, I happen to have scheduled a guest later in the week. We'll be hopefully talking with Charlie Reese, syndicated columnist, and then toward the end of the week, Friday maybe, a special film critic guest who takes a conservative view of everything, and before the Academy Awards, you see. In any event, tonight, we have with us, coming up now in just a few moments, on this President's Day broadcast, we have with us Christopher Bolin, who is one of my favorite columnists in the American Free Press, regularly featured. And, of course, he tends to write quite a bit about overseas matters and how they affect us here at home. And, Chris, are you there, Christopher Bolin?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you well. How have you been?
Good, thanks.
Great. Good to have you on the program. We've certainly never been strangers, have we?
No.
Not in recent years, anyway. Well, Chris, it's good to have you with us here. And before we take our first break, I just want to warm things up a little bit. I guess one of the things you'll be talking about tonight will be having to do with what's going on now in the Middle East and Lebanon and Syria and who might have been responsible, actually, for the assassination of former Prime Minister Hariri. We'll be talking about that, and we'll be talking about some of Scott Ritter's comments, I guess, and
yes.
And the other reporter, Mr. Jamail, the journalist, who are claiming that June 30th is George Bush's surprise Iran Day, and a few other things as well. But basically, tell us a little bit, before we take our break, Chris, a little bit about you and the American Free Press and how long you've been affiliated with it and what are your favorite topics.
Sure. I've been with American Free Press since its days as the Spotlight in June of 2000. My first job, I photographed the Bilderberg meeting in Belgium. It was early June of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in 2001, we were shut down by a court order, and they seized most of our assets, all of our assets, and we became American Free Press. We reorganized. And now we're smaller, and they've taken a real toll out of us, but we're still going. And like you said, I've been writing from Europe after 9-1-1, shortly after 9-1-1. I think at Thanksgiving 2001, I went to Europe, and I stayed there until May of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's I find that the media in this country is really terribly controlled, and after 9-1-1, it just got more so.
Absolutely.
And now, after, like you said, after this event in Syria or in Lebanon, when Rafiq Hariri got killed, I can't believe it that the journalists, the American media, has become so yellow. They're all calling for war. They're all pointing their fingers at Syria without a stitch of evidence.
Mm-hmm. And it's very timely, by the way things are happening there. All of a sudden, you know, just when George Bush is planning to travel to Europe, and also the heat is on now, Syria and Iran, and goodness knows all of these nations on the hit list of the neocons, all of a sudden something like this happens, and it could very well be Syria. On the other hand, it might not be Syria. We don't know. And as you point out, the media in this country are so controlled and just have a habit of conditioning us to accept certain inevitabilities very subtly sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, but they're not very subtle about this one. I mean,
no.
Everything that happened on Valentine's Day, all fingers have been pointed at Syria.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the fact that Israel is a belligerent country to the south has been completely forgotten.
Yeah, and their interests as well, yeah.
Right.
Good
And
point.
Then there's also an interesting thing is that I want to talk about that tower in Madrid, the fire in
Madrid.
Lots
to talk about. All right, let's take our first break. Chris Bolin from the American Free Press. I'm Rick Adams, Uncensored Radio Free America on Republic Broadcasting. We'll be right back.
There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were sand and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with the bugs and the sky with no clouds.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
And this is Rick Adams, the program Uncensored, Radio Free America, Radio Avenger, that's me. My guest is Christopher Bolin from the American Free Press. Our toll-free number for questions or comments, 800-313-9443. Chris, first of all, what have you learned from some of your sources, if anything, concerning this recent assassination of the former Prime Minister of Lebanon?
Well, I wasn't there, but I've looked at the evidence, and it's pretty conclusive. The photographs that have not been printed in the papers show that there's a huge crater, and that the smoke, the signature, what happened when the bomb exploded was a very light, sandy color plume of smoke
mm-hmm.
in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the crater, for example, shows that the detonation looks like it occurred below the surface, you know, about 3 meters, 10, 12 feet below the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, I have some photographs from a Lebanese site that show the condition of Rafiq Hariri's corpse, which was in pretty good shape. I mean, they could recognize him. His face and head and torso were in good shape, but burned. But his lower legs were quite injured, but, I mean, his shoes were still on. So his car was pretty well protected, and his body was in, you know, identifiable shape. And what this indicates to me, for one, I didn't understand how the media, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, the mainstream press in this country, right away on the 15th, when this story was being reported after the 14th, they all said an enormous car bomb. But nobody saw a suicide car, you know, strike the convoy, and nor did anybody have any evidence of a car bomb, but that's how they reported it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't say apparently car bomb or suspected car bomb. They said an enormous car bomb. That was the New York Times on day one.
Mm-hmm.
It happened midday. It happened, you know, on the Corniche, right there on the waterfront in the best part of Beirut. And nobody saw any of this stuff. And what it indicates to me is that something else, because the way the media avoids discussing the other options, I think the other options are where the truth lies. I think what happened was that this was an Israeli-style missile hit. You know, for example, they do them practically every week now. The Israelis strike from the air and hit an individual car or an individual. For example, they killed the Sheikh Yassin
in a wheelchair.
In his wheelchair.
Right.
And he was being pushed, according to the BBC, in his wheelchair, and a missile fell right on him.
And it was nice of them.
People don't realize how easy it is to launch these one-ton bombs or larger bombs, guided bombs, and they can take them, even since the first Gulf War, right down the smokestack or the chimney of a building.
Now, we have seen on the streets, though, of Lebanon, these massive demonstrations in the American media. That's one thing.
Especially with English signs. They have big English signs that say Syria out. I think that's quite interesting.
You know? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. In a country where the English is not a spoken language, but then they have English signs, you know, very clear, Syria out.
You know, there's one thing that, you know, like I say, so far, you know, I don't know. I can't say conclusively either way, and I'm sure you can't because we just don't know the facts, but you've given us just as valid a thesis or theory as anything that we've been given from anyone else in the media. Isn't it interesting that, you know, George Bush has targeted Syria and has targeted, of course, Iran and has targeted any other nation in the so-called war on terror that Bush has proclaimed to be the official policy of the United States, and this timing is just, it's amazingly, you know, convenient. Now, I know that the Syrian president has his differences with the Lebanese, certain factions in Lebanon, others support the Syrians there. However, it just seems to me that it would be anything but propitious for Syria to do anything at this particular time.
Right.
So
I mean,
it doesn't sound like it was a Syrian strike, but then again, like I said, we don't know. For sure. The only thing we do know is that George Bush is already exploiting it. In fact, before, almost like when Arafat was dying, George Bush had already prayed for his soul, and George Bush had already announced, now we're ready to move on. You know, he couldn't even wait for the corpse to cool off, you know?
Right. I mean, how does Syria benefit by bringing war and condemnation upon itself?
It doesn't.
Yeah. Clearly not, and it simply, I think that this was exploited. The Israelis and Americans have exploited this tension in Syria between the occupying Syrian forces. Although there's not a great deal of tension, that's also been exaggerated a great deal in the newspaper.
The last
press release that Rafi Hariri issued on the day of his death had a great deal of pro-Syrian sentiment in it. And he's not this anti-Syrian that they portray him as.
Uh-huh.
They're exaggerating all of this to try and, you know, drop the blame on Syria. And the American papers have been very heavy-handed about this. I mean, I just want to read what the Chicago Tribune wrote the day after. They said, this is an editorial from the Tribune. They said, those looking for the culprit in Lebanon's newest suffering need not go further than Syria and the bloody hand of President Bashar Assad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and this
pretty
is
inflammatory, right?
Pretty yellow journalism.
Yeah.
And especially, I spoke to the editorial page today, but especially after what the New York Times and the Washington Post, how they admitted that they had been too quick and unquestioning of the government's reasons for war in Iraq, for the Chicago Tribune to be going down the same avenue again, you know, with Syria. And I asked them today, you've gone way out on a limb. What happens? There's been no investigation. There's no evidence. What if there is an investigation and evidence proves that it was not Syria? Then you'll look pretty stupid, won't you?
Well, like George Bush said, you know, when he was told, and the Delphi report was the final nail in the coffin, no WMDs, Mr. President. okay, so what? You know, we'll
right.
move on anyway.
Right.
You know, don't confuse me with the facts.
But it bothers me that the all of the American newspapers seem to be reading from the same sheet of paper.
Yeah, I know. I was reading the Boston Globe, the Boston Herald. All the major newspapers almost start off and end with the same verbiage. It's just
do they all have experts on Syria that have independently come to the conclusion, or are they being given a dictate by the government?
I think they know how to read the script and how the script is meant for us, you know, and in the Americas here, where we just consume whatever's been bombarded against us. I remember, you know, Chris, years ago when they were trying to get rid of Marcos in the Philippines, and Ted Koppel of Nightline, all these characters there were doing their darndest, you know, every night to tell us how corrupt and terrible Marcos and his wife were. And it was a daily and repetitive exercise. And then they take a poll after all of this and ask the American people, what do you think of Marcos? Well, of course, the poll would reflect the negativity that they had been fed. It's a typical example of the pablum experience, you know, and the Pavlovian response to conditioning, I would say.
Exactly. But, you know, we have two hot wars in the Middle East right now, and I can't understand how the American media can have such an insatiable appetite for war and be ready to charge into Syria now and Lebanon, you know, and then as Scott Ritter says, they're planning to, he understands, and his sources are probably pretty good, that Bush has signed off on plans to bomb Iran in June. I mean, this is absolute madness.
Well, yeah, but then again, we have a mad administration, wouldn't you say?
I think it's criminal, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there have been people who have questioned George Bush's mental faculties and his abilities, and some have gone beyond that and suggested that he may have a case of AIDS that's terminal. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know
from Artie Wheeler.
But I do know that we do not have free and open and honest elections in this country, and those that win or are selected are by nature involved in a criminal conspiracy to defraud the American people of their democratic franchise, which makes them criminals. But I want to say one thing. I didn't get to this. There's a photograph in the New York Times slide that they haven't printed in their paper, but it shows this crater that I'm talking about. It's about, the crater's about 9, 10 feet deep at the center, maybe a little bit more. It's about 30 to 40, 50 feet across, depending on how you can measure it. But the thing is that it shows a water pipe under the street, and this water pipe was going across the middle of the crater, and one end of the water pipe is standing straight up. Now, this is important because this is pretty good evidence that the detonation occurred below the surface and threw this water pipe up, standing straight up now. It's a rather substantial pipe.
Yes.
Now, it's not. I've spoken to an expert in craters and explosions, and it's not for sure that's what it says, but it's very strong. It has a very strong indicator that the detonation was below the surface. And that's very important. I mean, are we to accept that for the size of this crater, that somebody was down under the street in the corniche of Beirut, burying something like 1 ton or 2 tons of explosives, just hoping that they would be lucky and that Rafi Hariri would be driving across this, you know, at the given time, and they would be just in the right position to detonate it under. It's mind-boggling. How, you know, it's absurd. And the most reasonable thing, and this is important because we see these craters occurring in many of these so-called car bombings. And my position is that many of these so-called car bombings that are very political, like in Bali, or like in Baghdad, many of these are not car bombings, but these are missile attacks made to look like car bombings.
Mm-hmm.
You see? That's what my position is, because car bombs by themselves don't usually cause craters. They cause indentations, but it would require, to make that size crater with a car bomb at the surface would require several tons of explosives, Professor Holzapfel's told me in Washington. He's an expert on craters. And it would have had to be in something like a truck, you know. And certainly they didn't. It wasn't 640 kilograms or pounds. It would have required tons of the material. So either there were tons of this explosive in Rafi Hariri's car, or a truck with tons of this explosive crashed into his car, which nobody saw, or tons of this explosive were buried under the street, which I find improbable. See? So I mean, this is the logical exercise that one has to go through, and you have to ask yourself, who benefits from this? And certainly Lebanon and Syria don't benefit by destabilizing their country.
No.
Lebanon is doing very well now, thank you, after 15 years of war. They've, you know, Rafi Hariri has done a great job in bringing it back. Why would the Syrians kill the golden goose?
good questions, and we'll try to deal with them and other issues. You're welcome aboard. 800-313-9443. We're speaking with Christopher Bolin from the American Free Press.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic-grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies, utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the AMT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
You have heard it said, coffee is not good for you. Well, the secret of Asia has finally arrived in America. Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb and miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. For all our products or to join us on our wellness journey to Manzanillo, Mexico in February, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. Again, 1-888-841-6055.
Sounds like some good Mexican music to me. Well, here we are, back again, uncensored, Radio Free America across the globe. I'm Rick Adams, your radio avenger on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to rbnlive.com, and of course, my guest is Christopher Bolin from the American Free Press. Other issues, Chris. And by the way, if you'd like to chime in, you can ask any question or make a comment, whatever you think. We can let you on the air, 800-313-9443. Chris, some of the other issues that you have written about just recently.
Sure. Well, one is I spent a couple weeks on the Iraqi election. I attended the local election here in Chicago. There were two polling places, and I was interested in seeing the integrity and how this was being handled. I was at one of the polling stations, this Assyrian Community Center in Skokie, to ask about, to see the count. I was there when the polling station ended. The polling ended at 5 o'clock on Sunday, the 30th of January. And it was interesting. I was speaking to this Irish-American lady who was running this, they were running the election for these Iraqi people in exile. And she said, well, I said, are you gonna start counting the ballots now? You know, you've got 6,000 ballots. Are you going to count them tonight? She says, no, not tonight. We're going to take them to a secure location, and we'll start counting them tomorrow, or I think the next day. And I said, well, you know, I asked the guy, why the delay? Why are you delaying? He said, well,
yeah.
You know, they're
good question.
They're folded up. You know, they're all folded and everything, as if that was preventing them from counting. But then, you know, then I pursued. I checked into the who was running the election over there in Iraq, and it is these democracy organizations that are part of the National Endowment for Democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be noted that the person who is the chairman of the National Endowment for Democracy is Vin Weber, former congressman from from Minnesota. Vin Weber is also one of the founding members of the Project for the New American Century.
How convenient.
Which are, you know, considered to be the intellectual architects of the war on Iraq. So then this guy has, you know, under the National Endowment for Democracy and taxpayers' money of about $100 million, they send over three of their sister organizations to set up the democratization, if you call it, of Iraq. And it's interesting that this in the Scott Ritter speech that he gave the other day in Washington,
yes.
He said that Ritter said that U.S. authorities in Iraq had manipulated the results in order to reduce the percentage
yes.
of the vote received by the United Iraqi Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Shiite group under Sheikh Sistani or Ayatollah Sistani, from 56% to 48%. I thought that was interesting that, you see, now there is no group in that election. When you had all of the Sunnis, something like 1% or 2% of the Sunnis even voted, then you had the Kurds in the north, which is the minority group, then the rest were all Shiites.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest vote-getter was this United Iraqi Alliance, and they didn't even get over 50% of the vote. You know, go figure, but this is what they've done. And it's interesting because... If you bear with me for 1 minute, I want to explain to you how this was done.
Sure.
The people voted in their polling stations, and this was done, you know, the United Nations had a role in this, and Camelia Pirelli, I think is her name, and she's with the United Nations. She was explaining on the 26th of January how they were going to do this. And, you know, when Paul Bremer was running Iraq, he set up the Iraqi Electoral Commission of Iraq, whatever, the Independent Electoral Commission of Iraq. He set it up, and he appointed all of the commissioners. Okay, so there you have it. It's set up by the Occupation Authority to start with. But what they did is that they counted the votes in each local polling place. They counted the votes, but they didn't post the votes. They didn't put them up on the wall or on the door for the people to see. But they counted them. When they finished counting in each individual polling place, they announced the results to the people that were in the polling station.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took the votes, the actual ballots, and put them in a secure location. They did not go to Baghdad. It's very important to understand that. The only thing that went to Baghdad was the tally sheet. So you had 5,200 tally sheets, and you had 200 people working around the clock with 80 computers. That means that each person would have to handle 26 tally sheets, right?
Uh-huh.
It took them 2 weeks to work through these tally sheets. They weren't working through the tally sheets, and they weren't counting the votes. They were negotiating, doing backroom deals, and trying to figure out who's going to run this country. It is anything but democratic.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely correct on that. What we have seen is similar to what we have seen about some of the elections in this country, particularly the touchscreen voting system.
Precisely.
BSNS machines and other companies like Diebold.
Precisely.
That have had their problems.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you said that, because that's the thing, is that in our country, that local count, what they did in Iraq, in the polling station,
yes.
that has been removed in this country. We no longer do that. We did that for the first 200 years of this republic, and it's very important. That is the sine qua non. That is the essential to a democratic election. If you do not allow the citizens to count their own votes in front of the other citizens and the press
mm-hmm.
and interested parties,
mm-hmm.
and then post that local result so that it can be picked up by the newspaper and local people can come and see how they voted in their precincts or their polling stations, without that, you no longer have a democratic election with any transparency. Because then, as it is in this country, it all becomes centralized, and it's all done either at the county level or the state level. And there's no transparency.
And by computer. By computer mainframe.
Right. Yeah. And
I mean, that's the scary
part. That's what I'm saying, is that the same people that ran the elections over there were the same people running up here. For example, these Frank Fahrenkopf, he was the head of the of the Democrat, he's on the Republican side of the presidential election debate, the CD, the Council for Presidential Debates. He and the Democratic guy, they were also running the thing over there in Iraq.
All right. Incredible, but true, ladies and gentlemen. All right, this is Rick Adams. We're speaking with Chris Berlin of the American Free Press. We'll be back in the second half hour on RBNLive.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
At 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you are in a similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security. And there is a storm brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we are on a course with a similar destiny. What are you going to do? Hop aboard a well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great-tasting dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat.
Back here on Uncensored Radio Free America. I'm Rick Adams, your host, Radio Avenger. Call myself the Paul Revere of Talk Radio now because we're trying to sound the alarm. All right, my guest on this program tonight is none other than Chris Berlin from the American Free Press publication. And Chris, are you ready to take a couple of phone calls or so?
Sure.
All right, let's do that right now. Our number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And let's go to Brian in Chicago first. Hi, Brian.
How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, sir.
I wanted to welcome you to RBM. RBN is long overdue, your arrival. And I wanted to let everyone know that not only are they getting somebody who's going to hit the issues hard, they're also getting some great listeners from Rhode Island.
Well, that's great to know. We're really picking up listeners all over the country and the world. So thank you for your presence here tonight, Brian.
Some of the best patriots I've heard. from Rhode Island.
Yes.
The spirit of the Boston Tea Party is still alive and well out there.
You bet.
Yeah. Regarding your guest.
Yes.
And the Chicago Tribune, I wouldn't waste your time with them. It's pretty much the Israeli press is synonymous with the Tribune and the Sun-Times. Mm-hmm. But we're giving them a fake election just like we have. It pretty much sums it up.
Right. Right. But the Tribune is very important because the Tribune owns the L.A. Times. It also owns the Newsday. It owns the Hartford Courant. It owns, quite a few papers. And television and radio broadcasting as well. The Tribune Corporation is no small local paper anymore.
Right. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, we could trust DynCorp, right?
What was that?
I said we could trust DynCorp to run an election, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was Madeleine Albright and Tom Senator McCain from Arizona. It was these were the people who were their organizations were running the elections in Iraq. I mean, it's a joke, but it's very instructive that they've how they've done it, and they've done the same thing here for decades. You know, the way that, for example, they control the access to the presidential debates so that viable third-party candidates don't get heard, like
Matt
Buchanan or Ralph Nader.
Mike Peruka and Bagnarik,
right.
Yep, that's right. All certified to run for president, all recognized parties, and yet
and
they were deliberately kept out of the process.
Right. I mean,
it's an outrage.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, anything else on your mind there, Brian?
That'll be it.
Thank
by
you.
The American Free Press.
Thank you, brother. Hey, by the way, Chris, they can go online and read the American Free Press or at least get a glimpse of it, right?
Yeah, we have a website at AmericanFreePress.net.
Right.
It doesn't have all of the material that's in the the paper. The best way, you know, you can get the paper for a very, very small amount of money. I think it's like half a year for $20 or something like that. It's a weekly paper, and it's a tabloid form. And the best way to get it is to call 1-888-699-NEWS,
N-E-W-S.
And I want to say one quick thing. There's one story, one article, one subject that only I and only American Free Press has reported for years. And that's about a European subject. This ship, Estonia, sank in September 1994 on the Baltic Sea.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have just found out through Sweden in the last month or so is that the ship was in fact carrying Soviet military technology on a weekly basis. And this was being done. The supreme commander of the Swedish military had an agreement with the customs director, and they were allowing this cargo of military technology to pass on a civilian passenger ferry, mind you.
That sounds awfully familiar to me. Huh?
Yeah. I heard something about Titanic or Lusitania.
In fact, the
guy that owns Lusitania is one of the guys who did the dive. His name is Greg Bemis.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is that what we find is that it's been a complete cover-up. But what happened is that the weapons, the military technology that came over from the Soviet Union, from the former Soviet Union, went to Sweden and got on an airplane. And guess where it went? It went to Egypt onto a third country.
My goodness.
It wasn't going to the United States, which is what we've often thought. It looks more like it was going to Israel.
Uh-huh.
And
very fascinating stuff.
This is very, very fascinating. So our reporting on this, and I've written an open letter to Carl Bildt, for example, because he's likely to become perhaps the next Secretary General of the United Nations. He's a very high-placed internationalist, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the Prime Minister of Sweden when this happened. And he was aware of this smuggling of this military technology on this passenger ferry, on which 502 Swedish people died that night.
There were
852 people died, 300 and something Estonians, but they were all, you know, Baltic people or Northern Europeans. But it's the worst maritime disaster in European history since the Second World War.
That is interesting.
So that's one thing that you will only find in American Free Press.
That's true. I know there are a number of unique stories and accounts, and you certainly should be able to take a bow. And I say that truthfully, not to patronize you, but you have done yeoman work as a newspaper and unfortunately have put to shame the establishment media in this country, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
They're ganging up on us. They're ganging up on us. I mean, you know, our 911 work that I've done a lot. I'm at the library and I just checked that Popular Mechanics now has, the March issue of Popular Mechanics has debunking 911 lies.
Yeah.
It's written by somebody named Chertoff, just like, you know, the new Homeland Security guy. Is that what he is?
Michael Chertoff.
Yeah.
Son of the devil.
Benjamin Chertoff wrote this one with some other people from, but they take point by point and they bolster the government's version, you know. And one of the things I've been trying to do, especially since the fire in Madrid, but for the last month, I've been trying to get an interview with the man who wrote the FEMA report. He's here in Skokie, Illinois. His name is, what's his name? Gene Corley. And Gene Corley is also the man who, advised the U.S. government on what caused the fire in Waco, Texas.
Right, right.
And he also wrote what they call the BPAT, the Building Performance Assessment Team report, for Oklahoma City. And then he came up and he was again given this position to do the thing for 911. And, he's the team leader. And this final report, what they wrote about they spent less than 1 week at the 911 site. They went around, they went where they allowed them to go, took a few pictures, and then they wrote this report.
Fascinating.
It was only 1 week of presence on the actual site.
It is incredible. I mean, the questions continue, the incongruities of this whole 9/11 front that we have been subjected to is just enough to drive one nuts, because thinking people can see it as a sham, and it is outrageous how the media have dumbed down, or at least tried to dumb down, the American public so they don't ask important questions. All right, let's take another call right now, and 800-313-9443 is our number on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Rick Adams, and we're speaking now with Christopher Bolin from the American Free Press. I think we've got Martin from California. Is that right?
That's right.
Hi, Martin.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for calling. Definitely. Yeah, I got a question or a comment for Christopher Bolin.
Well, I got a comment on the Syria bombing.
Sure, go ahead.
And that is that I was listening earlier this weekend, I believe it was on Robbie's show that John Kaminsky was on, and he referenced the Joe Vielle's article, which is currently circulating on the Internet. Regarding a bomb, a micro nuke is what he says,
yes,
being placed underneath the street. And that apparently that there is sewers and road construction that would enable such a bomb to be placed. And, of course, he blames it on Israel. And I was wondering, you know, whether or not Christopher had any opinion about Joe Vielle's and the various things he's written. Some of them I don't know.
Many of his columns are carried, I think, in the American Free Press, no?
I don't know about Joe Vielle's. I don't think he's written in American Free Press.
I believe I've seen his
may
name.
May have.
Yes.
But I don't agree. I don't agree that it was a micro nuke, nor do I believe that Joe Vielle says there's a micro nuke in Bali. He says there's a micro nuke in Jakarta. There's a micro nuke here. I don't believe that at all. I think that's to tell you the truth, I think that's a form of disinformation.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that that's credible at all. I've spoken to several experts. I mean, one thing is that if this micro nuke was detonated in the car or below the car, it doesn't explain the remarkably good condition that the Hariri's corpse was in. I think this was a very simple air-to-surface missile. Made by the United States, one of these one-ton bombs that Israel uses frequently, actually. I mean, one has to remember that you don't even notice it anymore, but almost on a weekly basis, we're told on the media that they hit this Palestinian or that Palestinian or this fellow in the Gaza Strip or this guy in the West Bank by a missile. They hit his car. It's a weekly event. Now when it happens, 50 miles north of the Israeli border, and destabilizes Syria and Lebanon, and you remember who's running the Israeli government right now? Ariel Sharon, who's known as the Butcher of Beirut,
mm-hmm.
for his brutal invasion of Lebanon in 1982,
yes,
and the massacre of many Palestinians and Lebanese. In one case, you should remember that the Israeli military bombed a complete apartment building, a high-rise apartment building, because one office was rented by a Palestinian organization. They bombed the entire apartment house and killed quite a few people. And that that invasion killed something like 30,000 Lebanese civilians.
Eventually, yeah.
And the Israelis stayed for, I think, about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, all of this is kind of like pushed under the rug. That the same fella who led that invasion, he was, you know, he was dressed down. He was removed from command. He lost his, he remained in the government, of course, but he had his defense portfolio taken away from him. But he's been in the government ever since, of course, Sharon, I mean. But, I mean, he was reprimanded by the Israeli government for war crimes, for allowing Sabra and Shatila to happen, the massacre of several thousand Palestinians in those camps, and for taking the invasion beyond its original plan. You know, it was supposed to go only 25 miles or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He went all the way to Beirut. I mean, this is the man who's running the state of Israel right now.
Yeah, I mean,
so
if there ever was a madman, I guess he could definitely win the award.
Oh, absolutely.
No question about it.
Well,
and,
this is the thing,
you know.
Is that, yeah, I mean, the American media completely, you know, ignores Ariel Sharon's history.
Yeah, I was watching the way they put the word, in quotes today when they were talking to him as the butcher of Beirut. Now, you know, when you see all of the reportage about everyone from Idi Amin to Pol Pot, there are no quotation marks. But suddenly, when it affects Ariel Sharon and the Israeli government, everything is, it's quotable. You know,
right.
it's debatable. It's somebody's opinion, but it's not an
right.
objective fact. I think that gives away the fact that the media are definitely controlled.
And you remember that the bombing of the Marine barracks there occurred, and
yes.
The Israelis had advance warning, but they didn't pass it along to the Americans.
And that was according to one of the Israeli Mossad agents
yes.
himself.
Yes, yes, they had advance warning.
Absolutely, Victor Ostrovsky.
They knew there would be a car bomb attack on the barracks.
They wanted it to happen.
Just like they happened to have advance knowledge at Odigo in Israel about 9/11, but nobody decided to call the mayor's office in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher, I didn't get a chance to ask you, but
Martin, go ahead.
If a missile was incoming, wouldn't it be observed by the people there?
No. These the speeds on a lot of these missiles are classified. They're silent. You don't hear them, and you don't see them. They're going too fast.
Wow.
They're going too fast to be seen.
Yeah. There's a whole host of these. They're called penetrating weapons, and they're designed. They have a delayed fusing in them, so that they're like the bunker buster, but they're designed so that they penetrate the surface material first and then detonate. That's what causes the crater.
It's almost like the equivalent of a silencer being used to shoot someone.
Yeah, you don't see it, and it's
right. You don't hear it coming.
No.
You don't hear anything, and yet the deed is accomplished. All right, Martin, any other question or comment?
Well, I do, in that, this disinformation that Joe Vial puts out or anybody else is very makes it very hard sometimes to argue the case for 9/11 or whatever else is, considered a conspiracy. And so, for instance, even on Christopher Boland's contention that the seismic records show a spikes that indicated explosions right before the Twin Towers collapsed.
Right.
That is apparently a point of contention. And, whereas things like the molten steel apparently are not. Christopher, did you actually talk to the person, Peter Tully?
Yeah, maybe you've read the Popular Mechanics article because I know they've taken up both these points. I spoke to Peter Tully first. Peter Tully was the only American company, Tully Construction in the Bronx. And I spoke to him at some length, and he told me that they had come across molten steel in the basement. I just remembered that. And then I thought about it for a little time, and then I then called up Mark Loiseau, who was is the head of Controlled Demolition Incorporated in Maryland, Baltimore, Phoenix, Maryland is it. And I asked him, I said, Peter Tully told me, that he had come across molten steel, and Mark Loiseau was still talking to me at that time, and he said yes. He said they found it. It was true. They found molten steel in the molten form. At the lowest, when they got down to the lowest level basement, that seventh basement level, and he said they found it down where the elevator shafts ended. But this is also where the central support columns, are based into the bedrock. There's a grid way that they're embedded into that bedrock. And the thing that's very important to understand here, like the Madrid fire that we're probably not going to have time to talk about, but this Windsor building that burned intensely for 24 hours in Madrid, Spain, is still standing.
Yes.
Most importantly, there was some collapse of the top 10 floors, of the periphery of those top 10 floors. But the central support columns, the central concrete reinforced steel beams that hold up the building, just like in the World Trade Center, are still standing in their entirety. And they have on top, there's a big crane on top, like, you know, much heavier than that, well, probably the same weight as that as that big communications tower at the World Trade Center. Now, that's very important because, you know, there's no good physical explanation how the World Trade Center's collapsed. Most importantly, what I'm trying to get an answer from these guys, they won't answer me, is why did the central support columns fail? These are box columns that are 36 inches by, they're huge.
They would have to have been exploded or bombed or nuked or whatever.
Yes,
you point out the question
Mark
of mini nukes.
He told me that if he was going to bring down the World Trade Center, he would put the detonation in the basement because you have to use the mass of the building to bring down the building.
Right.
This is
exactly.
Also another important thing.
Okay, listen, we thank you for the call, Martin from California. Do we have another caller, John, on the line? John in Texas, quickly before the break. Yes, John.
Well, I've got a couple of comments and a question, maybe a rhetorical question as well. I think a lot of merit goes to Chris and his level of discovery. But to me, it sounds like y'all are almost the antithesis of, or not y'all, but Chris is what he's doing might be the antithesis of what he's accusing our government of being involved in. And then, well, if we know who killed Kennedy, or don't know who Kennedy, whatever the case may be, what are we going to do about it?
All right, listen, hold on. Stay where you are, okay? John, we'll be right back with you right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Rick Adams. Uncensored Radio Free America continues.
From the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100. Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Many healthcare professionals know that the causes of our not having youthful energy, as well as many of our illnesses, can ultimately be traced to a lack of cellular oxygen and natural plant mineral nutrients. Unless we take plenty of oxygen and minerals on a daily basis, none of our maintenance, repair, or immune processes will function properly. And without plenty of oxygen and minerals, our vitamins won't work either. But through taking OxyMune oxygen drops and OxyEarth plant mineral capsules with MSN, daily, we help our bodies replace our most vital nutrients. Our bodies use these nutrients to create extra energy, properly digest food, and eliminate waste. Mr. Oxygen, Ed McCabe's new book, Flood Your Body with Oxygen, is also available now. Go to OxygenAmerica.com for more information or call 305-933-4219. That's 305-933-4219. Get your oxygen today and feel good.
Okay, that's great, great music here on Uncensored Radio Free America. And this is Rick Adams closing out this hour tonight. We're on Central Time 9 to 10 every weeknight on the Republic Broadcasting Network, growing by the day. And the program, of course, is here for you. And our last caller, for whatever reason, did not hang on. And getting back to you, Chris, did you feel that you had a chance to answer his question about the thesis and antithesis, Kennedy assassination, all of this scenario?
He said that I'm the antithesis of what this government is up to, or something like
yeah.
that. Like I,
yeah.
Well, I would agree with that. I mean, I didn't get a chance to hear the whole thing. But I wanted to say one thing, is that this murder of Rafik Hariri was a spectacular daytime event, very similar to 9-1-1. And you have to also ask yourself this question. Both of 9-1-1 and the Rafik Hariri murder are meant to be spectacles, because their main importance is to shape public opinion.
Oh, obviously.
And that's important, because if Syria were really wanted to kill this man, why would they do it in such a spectacular way? Why would they just, give him some sort of...
There would be no logical reason. You're absolutely right about that.
And so these are both events that are causes belli. They're trying to provoke a war, a conflict. 9-1-1, they got two wars out of that, and they're going on the third one. But that's, it's important for citizens in our country to ask themselves to examine these events and to really understand them. I mean, I don't have any greater understanding of events of 9-1-1 than most Americans. But we have to ask these questions. We have to really look at this evidence and see what it shows. Well, I studied it a great deal, but this is our obligation.
Well, Chris,
this is our country.
The thing that intrigues me now is how the neocons will move forward with their next conspiratorial attack on the next target, which is Iran. And I happen to think that they're going to need a provocation, if you will, on American soil. There'll be an incident within the next few months, and if that happens, then you'll see some, quote, Iranian linkage or connection reported extensively by the media, being fed by the government like we were on 9/11. Now,
well, I don't know if they're going to. I hope they don't do anything like that. But
I hope
think
not
that
too.
To,
but that would be a good scenario for them.
I think they're going to move this conflict into Syria. And I do think that Scott Ritter is probably right. He probably has good sources that they do plan a war in an attack on Iran in June. I mean, you buy their fruit, you will know them, right?
Yes.
And this very clearly
the repercussions
shows
and the spinoff is what they're looking at. There was an Israeli we talked about last week on the broadcast who let the cat out of the bag, and his name, was Victor. I can't think of his last name
Ostrowski?
Right now. Excuse me?
Was it Ostrowski?
No. Another Victor who is one of these Israelis who is advising us of what may happen. He painted that scenario, basically a scenario with a spinoff effect, and that America would reinstitute the draft out of necessity at that point. He mentioned Taiwan as being threatened by a Red Chinese move at that point, which, of course, George Bush has helped Red China enormously, as well as the Israelis behind the scenes. So he's pointing out a number of tumultuous events in this new year, 2005, are very likely to happen. So we'll just have to see. We're almost out of time, Chris. And I'll tell you, you're such an interesting guest. You have so much to say. We're going to have you back real soon, okay?
Sure, anytime.
God bless. Thank you, Christopher Boleyn from the American Free Press. Thank you. And AmericanFreePress.net, you can go on the web. I'm Rick Adams. Tomorrow night, we'll be back Tuesday night right here on Uncensored Radio Free America. With yours truly, Radio Avenger. It's been my pleasure. We'll talk to you tomorrow night on RVNLive.com. See you then.
Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.